The title of today's talk is Words Aren't Wisdom. A shovel, just because it exists, basically means little to nothing until it is used. But just because it is used once doesn't mean you have wisdom about the use of a shovel. The more the shovel is used in different circumstances, the greater the knowledge grows about the real capacity. You can never come to the end of its capacity. A shovel has dozens of uses, many of which would never fit into a simple dictionary definition. How about using it as a pan over an open campfire to cook something? Maybe not orthodox use, but serviceable. We grow up hearing, reading, seeing gazillions of words, most of which we have only superficially come to a deeper appreciation of the expanded meaning. Wisdom only comes through expanded use. Phrases made of words can have very complex meanings. Man, know thyself. What does it mean? What would it mean to a 5-year-old? What would it mean to the average person who doesn't think about spirituality? What would it mean to a master? Phrases made of words can have very complex meaning in the sense that it's only through increased association with its use that you develop a sensitivity towards its profoundness. Be still and know that I am God. Still, be still. What does be still mean? Be still and know that I am God. Well, stillness doesn't mean mind chatter. So if we're talking about the mind being still, that's one thing. If we're talking about the body being still, that's another thing. But how can the body be still if it's living? Heart pounding, lungs expanding, blood circulating. It's an active instrument, thing, complex apparatus. You could go on and on and on and put words to the human body as a descriptive. And that's part of the problem. Because from the time a child is born, it's going to hear vocabulary from people around it. Now, they've done some studies about children who are exposed to very low income situations where basically they're left on their own hours and hours and hours a day and have a very limited vocabulary expressed to them. And then you have another child who has a tremendous amount of interface with people, different people, parents, siblings, play friends, you name it, TV, radio, has a lot of interaction with vocabulary. And they tend to have a much broader ability to understand larger, let's say, definitions of things. But when you start out with a child, you simplify the vocabulary. Like a policeman, he's the good guy that's at the corner that helps you cross the street. And if you have a problem, you call on the policeman, yeah, blah, blah. But we know there are good cops and bad cops, and we know that there's cops that will chase you down in a car and kill you for an emotional, reactional reason. Not because you did anything wrong, but because they want you to be wrong. So vocabulary is a slippery dicky. And ideas that we express to each other with vocabulary are challenging because what something means to one person doesn't mean the same to another. So, how do we get along in life? We basically oftentimes end up in societies that reflect a sympathetic vocabulary to our vocabulary. And so we hang out with people of some kind of basic genre of education or experience or skills or something, education, which is synonymously close to ours. Ah, yes, that's the problem. The problem is, wisdom only comes with usage. So be still and know that I am God. Now we know basically something about the words. We're pretty much clueless about the power of their application. Man, know thyself. On further explanation around the phrase, man, know thyself, the masters would say, go deep down into the subject. Man, know thyself. And what they're aiming at is something that doesn't seem like a popular interpretation of man, know thyself. It's like your psychological self. Your skills, your abilities, your likes, your dislikes, something psychological, emotional about ourselves. But is that what they mean? Is that what they're driving at? Man, know thyself. No. They want you to go beyond the psychological person. And that comes not from vocabulary. It comes from insight. Now, insight is a problematic word. What is the insights around man know thyself? Or what are the insights around be still and know that I am God? The vocabulary of words and the usage of words expands our relationship to the probability of the word having many different layers of meaning. But do we get to the quote, quote, heart of the matter? What is the heart of the matter? You see, listen to that phrase, get to the heart of the matter. What is the heart of the matter of something? Why do we use that phrase? It's interesting that we use phrases that seem colloquially provocative, but don't get really contemplated in depth. And therefore, we skim the surface of meaning. And in doing that, we also avoid getting wise. Wisdom comes in usage. So the shovel that gets used for a gazillion things for some people who really use shovels. Oh, yes. Interesting watching the workers in the street when they were redoing the road out here. Heavy duty change and transformation of mounds of things were being done with little shovels. Now you had the big scoopers that came along and you had the rollers coming along, but how much work got done with shovels? And you go, interesting. Why are we shoveling when we can have automated equipment doing the work more simply? Well, in part it was because the detail work required shoveling. And so shovels were being used. Work boots. That was another thing that caught my attention of the workers out on the road. They were slogging through mud and mortar and concrete, etc., in boots and shoes that were not meant for the job. And you wonder why. They seemed pretty immune to the fact that they were schlepping through with their Levi's and shoes that weren't waterproof to work on laying concrete and finishing concrete. Very strange. Appropriate tools for the appropriate job make the job much easier. As much as 75% of labor that is done with inappropriate tools causes 75% more work. A stitch in time saves 9. Now you hear that as a kid. Well, that was when we used to sew. And Walmart wasn't handy and things weren't cheaper than they should have been. So a stitch in time saves 9. Now, some of us are old enough to know that a stitch in time saves 9 is a truism, not an aphorism. Because you see a moth hole in your wool sweater, and you say, oh, I'll get to that. Oh, I'll get to that. And pretty soon, the hole is so big that it looks like an amateur job if you ever do get to it to try and close the hole, where before it would have been unnoticeable. A stitch in time. Wisdom comes with usage. So when the masters say, go deep down into the subject of man, know thyself, they're aiming at a very profound function that will provide, quote, quote, wisdom. But you have to keep at it and at it, not just picking at it. You have to work it and work it and work it through the circuitry of your brain so that at some point in time, your brain stops thinking of cute little phrases or ideas and you get an inspiration of what that could mean. Now, the idea that it could mean that the masters give us a definition that man know thyself means that you are a soul, not just a biological body. Oh, that's sweet. That's so cute. That's so, let's say, usable. But do we stay with it and stay with it and stay with it and stay with it until it reveals itself on deeper and deeper and more profound meanings? In the beginning was the Word. Oh my God. And the Word was God. Oh my God. And everything came into being by way of the Word, God. Now, you can hear that, and you can hear that, and you can hear that. But you can't know that until you have insight after insight after insight on different frequencies. So, even though you congratulate yourself on paying a little attention to that phrase needs lots of attention. It needs to be penetrated, not with your mind, but with your insight. And so using the phrase as a trigger is just that. It's a trigger that needs to be stayed with until the target of spirit interpretation is reached. It's just a trigger to get you to stop cogitating mentally, and then to put the question out and let it settle over and over and over again. And you may get an insight. Is that the last insight? If everything is layered, layers of consciousness. You see, here we are. We have a problem. We don't understand that there's layers of consciousness and that each layer has a different set of values for the meaning of a phrase or a word or an idea. So, it takes quote, serious, quiet time, contemplation, to get to the more profound meaning. Let's go back to the shovel. The shovel actually usually has a handle. And if you plant the handle, you never know if you might get a tree. It's happened. I've seen the tree that grew from a handle of a shovel marking the end of a row of vegetables. People have come from far and wide to see the tree that grew from the shovel handle. Oh, you see, we don't understand the capacities of nature. And so we have very limited relationship until we begin to dig deeper into the consciousness in all things. Oh, I have a headache. It's giving us a headache to realize we're shallow in our ability to relate to consciousness of things other than humans, and we have a lousy relationship with consciousness in humans. When I talk about the scraping of tissue from the inside of the mouth of a donor, and that tissue scraped is put in a petri dish and taken down the hall, and they interact with each other, the donor and the tissue in the petri dish can respond to each other 50 feet away from each other, halfway around the world, which means that every cell in our body that grew out of a sperm and an ovum are related to what? How far, how wide, how complex the relationship? Every evolved creature that came before our now, which means that everything somewhere back there in primal cause relates us. And we don't get it because we don't understand it. And so it's affecting things in a way that we do not understand. But do we ask? Does it arise as a question? Does it arise as an opportunity to learn? Well, it's a conundrum, I would say. We have a major problem, and that's called shallow. But our shallow is, let's say, at the top of the list of potential to get less shallow, but we have much more potential than we use, which is to shut the physical brain frequencies down and try to allow more profound layers of consciousness to express themselves where we are. The Spirit's hands. Master Eckhart. Master Eckhart was always in trouble with the church because he was more profound. They can be a great help, words. They can become the Spirit's hands and lift and caress you. That's it. He did not like much the idea of the quote mean God, the sinner God. And so an organization that depends on you being full of sin so that you donate and beg and plead and become obedient really didn't trust the guy. They always had him kind of over a barrel as far as what he could teach and where he could teach. But his writings went way beyond the average relationship to scriptures and attitudes and mores and morals and that sort of thing. Because he went beyond those interpretations of words. His consciousness got quiet enough that he was inspired to have deeper insight. So, not liking the fact that he had deeper insight made him a target for, let's say, harassment. Well, the invitation is to realize that we're flawed in our use of consciousness. And that if we keep asking divine and then getting quiet, ask and then shut up. Don't tell divine what to tell you. Because what you're going to tell divine to tell you isn't the sum all be all of what divine could tell you if you were quiet. How do you pray? Well, we know the story. I don't say anything, I just listen. Well, what does God say? Oh, he doesn't say anything, he just listens. Now you can hear that and think it's cute. And it is, because it shows us that we're kind of ding-dong sometimes in the level of profoundness that we could be using for spiritual openness. Talking and asking is limited to usually our ego ideas, needs, wants. And not talking other than please open my consciousness to what I need to hear. Might be a way of inviting a more subtle exchange between our soul and our ego. So that's the problem with thinking we have wisdom. Our wisdom is very shallow because our usage is shallow. Our experiences can be shallow. And so by getting more settled, quieter, less reactional, that the reason we don't do that is there is an innate angst in the ego that you will uncover the fact that its job is to keep you from the spirit. And so it doesn't want you to be comfortable being still. It doesn't want you to be comfortable just listening. It wants you to be busy and praying and kneeling on rice so that your knees ache, so that you're, you know, punishing, self-punishment. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing. But who cooks up self-punishment? It comes from a layer of consciousness of the ego to punish the body so that you won't relax and relax and relax and be still. Trust the stillness. So, wisdom is not really in words. Words can point to things, but words aren't wisdom. They can point to things, but states of being are a different thing. So if our state of being is relaxed, an open-hearted and we can focus either in the heart or at the third eye quietly and keep coming back when our mind wants to wander, coming back, coming back, coming back to quiet, so that an insight, the soul within or the soul without, can reach our consciousness in a meaningful way. It's always directing, it's always there. It's just that we're on the wrong channel while it's on another channel. So we don't realize that what's going on is actually forcing us not to be comfortable in certain situations because we're not at the level of receptivity we need to be. Okay, my dears, it's an interesting game that God has got us involved in, and that's, can we trust getting quiet? Can we trust being still? Can we trust the fact that we'll have an insight on another frequency, another channel, if you will. Your TV can receive hundreds of channels and you're tuned to one or the other. What's going on with the others? Are they not broadcasting? Is the satellite not broadcasting? Or is it broadcasting? We're just tuned just slightly to one frequency rather than another. So in a way, God is trying to help us understand that channels are always broadcasting. We're just limiting our reception by where we're dialed in energy. what frequency we're on. And it's not a moral issue. It's just not. It's just a practical possibility. So you're not bad because you're not on CNN. You're on QXY. So, is that bad? No. But you may be being screwed up. Because your data is not the most profound that it could be. That's all. It's all right. You'll get kicked around long enough, many lifetimes, until you evaluate and get to a place where you value the quietude that allows receptivity on other channels that you're missing. More profound information. So, start where you are, when you think about it, when you are inspired to be quiet, be quiet. But if the masters come and say, quiet's really important, you would think, well, maybe I should put some preference on that. Maybe I should put some dedicated quiet time. And that's as deep as you need to think about, really. We keep thinking that we need to be smart. No, we need a little practice. We need to understand when the masters say quiet is a very important thing, what is that attached to? What's the value of it? Where's the profoundness in it? They're not whistling Dixie. They haven't got time to whistle Dixie. They're trying to point to where wisdom lies. So, onward and onward. Onward and onward.